Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Raman Bastani. He is the CEO of Healthvana. Raman, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Nick.
So as we do always, I like to sort of set the stage. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you arrived at this point in time as the CEO of Healthvana.
Yeah, I've always been an entrepreneur. And I kind of got into this health and technology world because I took care of my father for a number of years before he passed away from lung cancer. So as a caregiver, you get to see a lot of the good and bad things that happen in healthcare. And a lot of the bad things had to do with a lack of transparency, specifically the ability to actually get information on someone's condition or even more specifically on their lab results. So you want to know if cancer has come back. You want to know what's happening in your health. And so that spurred me later on to end up kind of working within the context of, you know, health and technology to help working towards ending HIV. And now our goal as a company is helping end COVID-19. But my background's always been an entrepreneur, and we've been working in digital health now for a few years.
So tell us a little bit about Healthvana. It's, you know, you've been around for a while. We'll get into the COVID-19, but where did it start? What was the sort of nexus of that organization?
Yeah, our goal is to end HIV. And the idea was, if we're going to work at the convergence of healthcare and technology, why not go after the most protected health information in our country, which is HIV records? There's a lot of stigma involved in those and a lot around your sexual health. So if we could empower people with information at their fingertips, which is what Healthvana does, we make sure patients get information at their fingertips from their healthcare provider in a way that's easy to understand. More like Instagram than Windows 95 looking, you know, patient portals. And so we can do that in a way that leads to better outcomes. And we've been published in things like the American Journal of Public Health showing, you know, reduction in time to treat for patients who notified through us. But that's, you know, our initial start was very much around the idea of empowering patients with information. And we've learned that we had to go directly to the healthcare providers to empower them with the right tools to then empower the patients.
So as you think back to that initial, you know, what I find interesting in that is the fact that you started with, and you're right, because if anybody ever wants to talk about security and, you know, the importance of protecting health information and so forth, they always cite HIV status. That's like the first example. And you're exactly right. It's, you know, the most sensitive piece of information. Would you say that that was a sort of critical part of the thinking and the initial steps for the company? Because if you got it right there, you were able to get it right elsewhere?
That was absolutely it. If we could do that in that particular use case, and even one step further, it's not just that it's the most sensitive information, but it's also information you want to share. And here's what I mean. Think about the proliferation of online dating. Think about knowing someone's HIV status before meeting them. And think about if you even are HIV positive, if you take your medication every day, undetectable means untransmittable, which means that you cannot pass it on. So there are people that use Healthvana that are HIV positive that have the results and it shows they take the medication, therefore their viral load is low, and then they can't pass it on to someone else. So we believe that information can be really useful to people whenever and however they want to share it. And HIPAA drives me nuts sometimes. The P does not stand for privacy. You know what it stands for, Dr. Nick?
I'm going to let you tell people.
Portability. So the idea that we should have access to our information in a way that helps us live our lives better is really important. And I've advocated for these things on behalf of our company at the White House, National Library of Medicine, and different conferences around the country. And what better place to start than with your sexual health, which is something that's really important to a lot of people.
As I think about this, I'm sure that an awful lot of the management books would say, start with the easy use case first, yet you've gone the complete other end and are demonstrating, I think, a very successful pathway. Was there something back then that worked especially well to allow you to be successful with this really tough path?
There was very little attention paid by digital health companies towards the sexual health and HIV category. One, because it's difficult. Two, there's a lot of stigma around it. Three, maybe it's not as big of a category as chronic kidney disease, or as big of a category as, you know, other conditions that you would be forced to kind of go into because you need to prove a market in order to raise capital. In our case, we saw it as a perfect use case to work with different communities that are disadvantaged, work with communities that may be housing insecure, work with communities that are of color. If you're in the United States today, if you're a Black man who has sex with other men, which is kind of the way the CDC talks about it, your odds of getting HIV are 1 in 2. And so we can help with that. There's a pill now called PrEP that you can take once a day that will prevent you from getting HIV the same way a woman can take a birth control pill every single day. So there's a lot of things that we care deeply about. And we have an incredible team that cares about these issues. And it just so happens that a lot of the lessons we learned in HIV have translated, fortunately or unfortunately, into COVID-19, where you have to share your status to get into school, to get back to work, to get on a plane. So we've actually been prepared for this with other incredibly anxiety-provoking data, which is why we've been able to expand so quickly, I think, in our COVID-19 work.
So I'm going to pull out the thread and just sort of highlight it and say, in this particular instance, I think the incremental insight is, even though it was a hard pathway, it sort of created an open field for you because others weren't sort of stepping in. So it wasn't that you didn't have any competition, but it just limited some of the competition, which gave you an opportunity to develop, I think. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. Especially in healthcare, if you can have a bigger piece of a smaller pond, it's still valuable because you have the most insight into a particular area. And we thought it behooved us as a company to gain expertise and insight in a particular category where we could really then go into more sensitive data. But the truth was, what we learned in healthcare was that it's really, really difficult and that you cannot try to be everything to everyone else or you will fail, like a lot of digital health companies have, and where tens, hundreds of millions of dollars have gone into companies that we know that just tried to expand it to be everything to everyone, including right. Google Health a number of years ago that had billions. Right. So we focused on a niche where we could make an impact in people's lives, and that's what we genuinely care about.
And just to be clear, you're saying a small fish in a big pond, but HIV is a pretty significant disease worldwide. And you've taken that on, you know, to pick your stat, 1 in 2 for Black men as a risk status. And you've taken that on. Tell us a little bit about the penetration of the product and what it's doing so that people can understand that before we talk about the move out or the expansion.
Yeah, of course. So first of all, the product is software as a service. It's business to consumer. So what we do is we sell it to clinics and we help them manage their patients who are either HIV positive or at risk of HIV or getting screened for sexually transmitted infections. So one example would be that there was a clinic we worked with in, I think in Florida before HealthVana. They were making, they're getting about 100 phone calls a day. Because patients are like, hey, what are my results? They're anxiety-provoking results, right? After HealthVana, within a few weeks, they were getting about 5 calls a day. And that's now lasted for 3 years. So we've delivered north of 15 million HIV-related test results across the United States to hundreds of thousands of patients for the last few years, making us the biggest platform doing this kind of work in the country.
And to be clear, the importance and the sort of central tenet here is the reliable distribution of that information so that it's secured. And I, to your point about HIPAA, that gets, raised all the time. No, you can't do that because of HIPAA. And you're actually the reverse of that, appropriately so, because it is about portability and sharing of information as much as anything. What's behind the scenes there? Because that's not trivial, I don't think.
It's a lot of work. There's no doubt. A lot of healthcare, the problems stem from the fact that the software is built upon other software, is built upon other software, and you're duct taping a lot of together. And then the big thing is interoperability. And I think the best way to achieve interoperability in the short term is to actually let patients have the information at their fingertips. Let them decide where they want to take that information. If it's to a second opinion, let them share it with, a caregiver, let them share it so they can be the main conduit of information. Because it's their health. It's absurd when you're denied rights to your health or, hey, look, Dr. Nick, I know you made a request for your records. In our state, we have 30 days to respond to you. I mean, go to hell is what you think, right? I mean, this is the thing that really gets, our team pissed off just because it's so absurd. HIPAA, the doctor owns the actual piece of paper, right? We should flip that around. The patient should own it. And then they should be able to grant access to whoever else may want it, right? But there's a lot that we're fighting. And instead of talking about it, instead of talking about, you know, the power of the patient, all those kinds of things, what we did was we just showed it, and we showed that it worked. And we showed that, you know, 90% of patients log in within a certain period of time. It leads to better outcomes. It's cheaper for the healthcare provider. And we've been doing telehealth for years on this platform. But only now is it becoming really relevant that you want to communicate with patients where they're at, not force them to come into your office. And of course, that helps with communities that may not have the ability or have the transportation to come up to your office every couple of weeks or every couple of months, whatever it may be. So there's a lot we've learned from that that's prepared us for the pandemic.
So it's interesting you bring up that as an example, because literally today online, I'm seeing posts from a physician sort of stream that talked about, you know, who feels that we should limit results released to patients before we've had a chance to review and so forth. And you have the same reaction as I did. I was a little bit more muted in the way I approached this, because positive or negative, I don't want to wait. Why should I want to? I have such a problem with this.
Our entire company, sorry to interrupt, our entire company is oriented around one question in looking back. And it's really simple. The only thing that matters to you as a patient when you're waiting for test results, especially sensitive ones, is what? Am I going to be okay? Right? Nothing else matters. And people want to know, am I okay? And if not, just tell me what to do next. Right? So don't give me a PDF or seven PDFs and a bunch of things I have to Google. Just tell me like what the result is. Hey, you've tested positive for this infection. Don't worry, it's curable. Here's what to do next, right? And then nothing else. That's the first page. That's the call to action, right? Bringing the principles that we use all over technology to healthcare in a way that actually makes it better for the patient. It reduces their anxiety, and then it reduces all the work on the staff.
Fantastic. I, you know, again, pull out the thread for me is find the simple question that you're resolving and answering for people. And importantly, have the call to action tied to that, you know, in terms of incremental insights for how to be successful. For those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. And today I'm talking to Raman Bastani. He is the CEO of Healthvana. We were just talking about the history of the organization, their HIV solution that is essentially opening up accessibility and the transmission of what is, you know, a difficult topic and one that we need to share but don't always want to share, and certainly not with people that shouldn't be looking at it. I want to say it sounds pretty well and truly resolved. And now we're in COVID-19, and you found yourself at essentially an anchor point for delivering similar kind of solutions. Tell us a little bit about that and when that happened. And I'm curious, when did it hit you?
Maybe around March, when we thought, hey, look, this is getting pretty serious, when we started reading more and more about it. And we started to hear from some of our existing healthcare providers that we work with that, hey, we were thinking about starting to deliver COVID-19 results. Are you able to help us with that? And then in about April, we heard from the city of Los Angeles saying, hey, look, we're making, you know, 50 hours plus of phone calls a day, and that's taking a lot of our staff time. We've heard about your work. Can you help? And, you know, we could, and we did. And within, you know, a week or two, they were making almost zero phone calls a day, or receiving zero phone calls a day, because of the principle of getting information to the patient in a way that they understand quickly, right? Which is things we've done in a HIPAA compliant way for a while. So you take that from, you know, the middle of April, let's say, till today, and we've delivered 3 million test results to patients across the country, working with states, large municipalities like Los Angeles, ranging all the way to Miami-Dade, with the New York City school district, with large employers, universities, skilled nursing facilities across the board. And a lot of the principles we learned are what we've been able to apply to help a lot of people. And I think we're one of the leading, if not the largest, platform in the country for COVID-19, with a hope of ending this thing as fast as we can.
So walk me through a process from a patient's that, how does that work for me if I was, is it dependent on the test giver? How do I get that so that I can sign up and, you know, get these results quickly?
Yeah. So Dr. Nick, let's say you go to a local drive-through. Wherever you live, the first step is generally going to be you sign up online, right? I'm Dr. Nick, here's my information. And then the second step is you actually show up for that visit, which may be the next day, let's say. And that information goes off to a laboratory right now for a PCR test, right? The third step is where HealthVana enters. We integrate at the direction of, let's say if it's a municipality we're working with, the direction of the municipality, we integrate with the lab and or labs. And then we get that information through some sort of integration, whether it's a HL7 integration or something like that. And then we send out to you either a text message or an email, depending on what you chose at registration, that says, hey, Dr. Nick, per the county of blah, 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 your test results are available. Please click on this link. Now you'll get a text message and or an email. You click on the link, you enter your date of birth, and within 15 seconds, you have your COVID-19 test results. And it's very clear, COVID-19 positive, negative, or need new sample. And then you have corresponding language below, which is customized by the healthcare provider or the municipality or the employer as to what that means and what you're supposed to do next. And so it's that simple. Now, if you choose to create an account with HealthVana, you put in a password, and in another 15 seconds, you have access to all those testings you've had at that particular area, along with a vaccination for flu and COVID-19. And you can also print up your results in a way that you can share with an airline. And what I just described to you from a patient perspective, patients are sharing their test results by way of HealthVana hundreds of thousands of times a week in order to get back to school, to get back to work, to get on a plane.
So, I mean, one of the challenges around sharing results is, how do they know that this is Dr. Nick's result, really? And it was Dr. Nick that was sharing it versus I've got somebody else's. Because, I mean, that matters in HIV. We've got the same issue, same problem. I want to be sure of those things. You've obviously thought about that. What's going on behind the scenes?
We have an incredible team of technologists, of product folks, of customer support folks, where we've been able to iterate to make sure that works, and it works really well. Like you mentioned earlier, you can't, messing up in an HIV context is a big deal. The same is true for COVID-19. If I mess up your cholesterol results, you're not going to be that upset as a patient, right? Those other two matter a lot. So we've spent an exorbitant amount of time with experts and understanding how to build the best system to make sure that those mistakes don't happen. And they would have to be able to talk to you about the specificity of how we actually do that. But we've been able to do this tens of millions of times now. And we're doing it where patients have about a 94% satisfaction rate overall. So it's working, and it's working really well.
And the individuals, so if I sign up for an account, am I validated as, this really is me? And, from an authentication, I think specifically about a place like Hawaii that said, hey, you can't come in. Now they've opened it up, but you have to have your testing. But then, where do you get your testing? Can you have it beforehand? Because if you arrive, get a huge sort of downstream effect that sounds like HealthVana would be perfectly placed to resolve.
Yeah, the validation part comes about when you're actually getting tested. So you're probably showing your driver's license to match you up to whatever you registered on. So right, we're downstream from a lot of where that happens. So we rely upon the information that's happened beforehand from the great people that are working those sites, from the great labs that are turning around these sites quickly. So we're very much the last mile.
So but you take that validation information to tie it back to the account. So you're not, those are not independent pieces. You tie it all together, right?
Correct. It comes downstream. The registration information goes to the lab and their lab information management system. Right. And then we get that information directly from them.
So as I think about this, there's, clearly some potential for ongoing communication. You've got that, I think, built in as part of your HIV solutions, and I think specifically around contact tracing, which, remains in so many places that I see today in the dark ages. They might as well be chipping away with stone tablets and hammers and chisels the way they're using it. Can you help there?
Yes, we can. We're about to launch what we call digital contact tracing. It's meant to be complementary to the contact tracers, not in replacement of. And we view it as being the tip of the spear. So here's how it works, Dr. Nick. Let's say you get tested, you get your results back through HealthVana. It shows that you're positive for COVID-19. Directly below that, you'll see some pretty bold font that says, help save lives. Anonymously notify people you've been in close contact with, and it'll define what that means, by putting their email or phone number here. And we'll immediately send them a link to get free tested information on how to self-isolate and protect them and their loved ones. That we think would make a big impact. And here's why. There's a lot of municipalities that are incredible and are trying their best to keep up with what's happening. But when you have a surge like you do in some states today, you have a 40% positivity rate across the state, you cannot have enough people making phone calls. Right. Phone calls does not work in that way as the tip of the spear. But what does work is if instead of it taking, let's say, 4 to 7 days for someone to tell you, Dr. Nick, and get you on the phone, and then you give up, let's say, my name, right, as someone you were in touch with. So they have to call you, convince you to give up additional information, and you come over and then they start to call me. That process takes a long time, right? We think we can cut that down to a few hours. And we're going to be testing that out with one of the largest municipalities in the United States, which we'll be sharing next week in a release to see how that can work. So all of this is about closing the feedback loop. And because of the where we sit in the chain, we can see what's happening. And so if you end up giving my name, you know, a municipality can see, okay, well, Raman also was identified. He viewed this. He's actually getting tested and his result was. The idea is to just expedite what's already happening with the hopes of ending all of this. And this is all keyed upon the idea that we are able to get test results delivered to patients where they view them, not just delivered, but they're actually viewed within 30 minutes of the right. test result being released, which is incredibly fast. So from that 30 minutes, how long does it take for you to enter my name? And then how quickly can I open it? That could be 32 minutes.
So the one piece I want to ask specifically about is, you said anonymously, because that feels critical, because that's one of the challenges around contact tracing. You know, I don't want to raise, I mean, I want to be the good citizen, but I don't want to be, oh my God, he gave me COVID-19. What the hell?
It's a good point. I'll go back to our background in HIV-related work that we've done. This, you know, contact tracing is not new to us. In that world, it's called partner notification. And so we know how to do this work, and we're going to get some data backing up that this is working, and we're hopeful to deploy it further around the country.
Couple of minutes left. Closing thoughts about where this is going. I mean, obviously, not only are passionate about HIV, underserved communities, you know, expansion into this space that is in desperate need. What else are you see in the future that you think you can bring to the table that can help us get back to whatever the new normal will be?
I think the expansion into vaccinations will be really important. The idea that you'll be carrying around with you your test results on HealthVana on your phone, that'll be important, but it'll be even more important to have a vaccination record on there as well for not only the first but second dose. And so being able to have one solution that works for patients, that's easy for them, that feels simple, right, and not complicated, will make a big impact in empowering people to not only be able to have their information at their fingertips, but let's say they do test positive, to be able to notify people anonymously to hopefully slow down the spread or stop the spread in certain areas. Everything we do goes under three words right now, and it's speed is life. And so the faster we can move on everything, I think the closer we'll be to helping bring this to an end.
Fantastic. Well, just remains for me to thank you for both the work you're doing and also coming on the show. Truly a delight. I think, you know, attacking a huge problem that, you know, if you cast your mind back far enough, you remember how terrible the whole experience around HIV was and, you know, the stigma that was associated. We've now turned the corner with all of that and, you know, opening that up in a way that I think is really meaningful, but now expanding that into COVID-19 makes a tremendous amount of sense. So I'm very excited about the work, look forward to following it. Just remains for me to thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, The Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.